Welcome to the Model Citizens, a podcast about the miniature wargaming hobby, where we will attempt to enhance your experience in painting and playing with amazing miniatures. With co-host, Joe Elverson.
It must have been part of that millennial thing.
Corey Lenegar.
I can't help but your legs are smooth.
Randy Charles.
And we were supplied with a bottle of Febreze.
And myself, Alan Blunt.
Everybody took on the consistency of ham.
Please enjoy the show. Hey everybody, how you doing today? Model Citizens, episode number 6. We are back from Adepticon, and we should be rested by this time. How's everybody doing?
I still need a nap.
I'm still recovering from a broken foot, but...
Okay, alright.
I'm not doing too bad. The grotto's been cleaned, and the 40k models have been put away.
Okay, yep, but I'm still in the midst of transitioning everything to be put away at this particular time. Glad you guys could make it here on a Friday. We also have Mama Lenny's in the studio, in the chat room. How you doing, Miss Jennifer? Okay, whenever she wants to chat, she can.
I'm upset Corey got mandated over, so he did not get to bring any of the smoked meat that Jennifer was going to prepare for.
Alan, you have not been witness to her food porn as of late.
Oh, I saw all of it.
She made more, and if I hadn't got mandated to work extra today, I'd have brought some.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so you can blame overtime for that one.
Oh, man. Yeah, I saw
stupid
that.
Civic duty.
A civic men. They look nice on Facebook.
It's been wonderfully tasty.
Yeah, I know. So, how much you have left?
She makes everything anytime we want. So, last weekend it was try out the chicken. The first weekend it was ribs. And the bus driver almost crashed looking at the ribs because she was out there that morning when Connor got on the bus smoking ribs. And the bus driver about ran into the tree. So Connor's friend came over and stayed the other night. And he went home with an armload of meat. And yeah, so.
I did sign up today officially with Jennifer to be the official menu taster when she's trying new stuff.
That's a handy position.
So next, I guess from now on for the podcast, all you got to do is really say, hey, we need meat for the podcast.
We need meat for the podcast. So what's going to happen? 2 Tommy's Pizzas are going to be coming this way for everybody to go ahead and start imbibing while we take our break to eat, of course. But I want to thank everybody for your time. A couple of weeks back, getting out there, being halfway tired.
Despite objects struck in the road and snafus with this and that, we weathered the weekend well, I think.
Yeah, we weathered the weekend well. Okay.
All I'm going to say is amazing, amazing, amazing. Mm-hmm. Just a great experience.
Yeah, I got to say thanks for including me because it's my first Adepticon, much like Joe. I've been looking forward to it, and it did not disappoint at all.
Okay, and it was your first Adepticon also, Randy.
Why you got to bring that up?
Oh.
No, it was my first Adepticon, and I like Corey, had a very great time. I can speak English, too. It was a lot of fun. I'm definitely going to do it again.
Nice, nice. So, any thoughts on what anybody wants to bring for an army next year?
Oh, yeah, we spoke about that before we left.
Good.
Wheel is turning.
Okay.
Yes.
The madness is thickening.
I'm only going to run one non-40K event next season.
Yeah, you kind of shoehorned yourself in a couple nights there.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And everybody had a good time, as told. And
wait a minute, we can't be doing the Adepticon podcast without me wearing my Adepticon medal.
You know what's funny? I can't find mine. I think Brandon has it.
No, I've got it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yep. There's Joe wearing his Adepticon.
Master Blaster right here, baby.
Master Blaster of Super Dungeon.
At least we got consolation prizes.
Yeah, we did get consolation prizes.
Yes, you did. Thank you, guys.
We didn't get a copy of the home game, though.
Make that happen, Alan.
Nobody got a copy of the home game. Oh, no. Okay, so Adepticon experience. Let's hear it from Boat Gun Team Bravo, coming in 30 out of 120 teams. It was that low at the end because people dropped out.
Always for the greater good.
And always for the greater good. Your towel. So,
non-cheesy towel. And
yeah, exactly.
We actually got a lot of really good compliments from other teams that we obviously were kind of a mechanized. We had a lot of devilfish with troops.
Right.
But we got a lot of compliments that's the towel list you don't see a lot anymore. And a lot of people didn't really know what to do because it's not the list.
Because it wasn't suits, right.
We didn't have it wasn't 2 Storm Surge, right. 8 Riptides.
8 Riptides and
Buff Mander.
Okay, let's go through your Tau army, okay, of who brought what. So, Randy, start with you.
I had an ethereal after Joe beat me about the head, face, chest, and neck to get rid of my Cadre Fireblade.
Which seemed like it was a good choice, too.
And then, yeah, in retrospect, I don't want to give Joe any credit because his head's already big enough, but it was a good choice. And I had Long Strike and a Hammerhead with missile pods. I had 10 Breachers with Haywire Grenades and a Devilfish with missile pods. 10 Fire Warriors with carbines and a Devilfish with missile pods. And then 10 Fire Warriors on foot with long rifles and a missile pod. And then 10 Marker Light drones.
Guardian drones too, right?
Yeah, everybody had Guardian drones, which well worth the points. And some people are like, it's only a 6+ save. Yes, it's a 6+ invulnerable save. I'll take that every day. So I was probably the most non-standard out of everybody.
I was the captain. I didn't take a Lord of War. For my HQ choice, I took a buff Mander, had a little bit of everything. And then I put him in five, in a squad of five suits. All of the suits were equipped with a burst cannon missile pod, except for one that had two fusion guns. All of the suits had target locks. And then there was five drones, gun drones with that unit, which obviously the buff Mander had a drone controller, which let them shoot at his ballistic skill. Two or five to make it hit on twos. And then and they also had two shield drones from with the buff Mander. And then to round out the rest of my points, I had two Devilfish with just gun drones on them. And then they had sensor spines, black sun filter, disruption pod. And then each one had six Breachers with a Sashvir, make seven guys in there. Each had a Guardian drone. And then I had seven Pathfinders with a Sashvir. And that was my 1,000 points.
Okay, cool. Corey?
Well, I'll speak for Brandon since he wasn't here. He was our Farsight, and he basically kind of took a Farsight bomb. Farsight, like nine other suits, wasn't it?
He had a Hammerhead, he had a squad of five, and then he had two squads of three.
Yeah.
Most of the three squads all were dual missile pods with its two dual shield drones in each unit, and then the other unit had a little bit of fusion, plasma, missile pod, shield drones, so a little bit of everything just to be a utility unit.
Yeah.
It was a nice mix.
And then I took an ethereal as well, so we had kind of access.
I don't know if I said it. Brandon also had a Hammerhead as well.
Yeah. I took an ethereal as well, just so we could have the chance of actually having one in every game, which I think actually ended up working out. We didn't double up at any point. I had two basic five-man units of Fire Warriors inside Devilfish with minimal equipment, just to keep my troop choice costs down as much as I could. I had five Pathfinders for the Marker Lights, and then I'm the only one who took formation for some big firepower, but it took the form of the firebase support formation, so I had a Riptide and two rail sides, and then I actually had one more heavy choice of two missile sides. So I had a lot of stand-back-and-shoot firepower. So
yeah, that's pretty much Team Bravo.
All right. Well, I was part of Team Alpha, which we had brought Occult Mechanicus. My own army was three units of three Cataphron destroyers and two of them with the Grav, and three Cataphron breachers with the Haywire rifles. I also brought the Lord of War, which was a Night Titan with the cannon, and I also had my Dominus. Then we had John Wolf, who had brought his robots, three units of Cataphron destroyers, two units of Cataphron destroyers, one unit of Cataphron breachers. And he had four of the guys with the grav weapons, three of the guys with the twin-linked plasma, and he had three of the guys with the Haywire, the Tech Dominus, and two robots and their Dominus. Then we had Larry Curtis, who had brought the Void Shield Generator. He also had brought his Dominus, three units of destroyers. He also had brought robots. And then there was Nick, who had four robots and three units of destroyers. We placed further down. We placed 50 out of 120, but we had a good sportsmanship score. We had a decent appearance score, and we just didn't really have the battle points to get any higher than that, because whilst we were sweeping on one table, the other team was losing on the other table. And by the way, we managed to shoot an Eldar army off the table in the first turn. So basically,
wow.
That happened on our side.
Of which they had no jet bikes, right?
Oh, it was nothing but jet bikes, dude. Right. It was nothing but jet bikes. We cleared off one player's Eldar almost completely in the first turn, and the other player, we just got rid of the majority of Farseers and Warlocks that happened to be in the way. And the most tight time of the game was when the knight was going base to base with the Wraith Lord and managed to kill it and move on and basically just try to table the dudes. But it was a fun game. The Eldar weren't that bad. We also played that Spartan team, which had the knight dressed with the big cape on it.
All the Minotaurs.
Minotaurs. That was a fun fight. That was cool. Our game just basically went lopsided. We start off the turn basically clearing them down. Next thing you know, my knight whiffs on all four of his attacks on his knight. Then my knight goes. It's like, it's one-sided at this point because his knight just decided to just walk up the table, beating everything up, and we couldn't get way to fire. My guys disappeared first. Then John was the last man standing. Me and Nick were on a table versus some Chaos players who also brought their Chaos Knight. Well, fate was on our side. We managed to whip him up and basically ended up the end of the game. There was my knight on top of a building shooting rounds into it while the Chaos Cultists are huddled on beneath. And that was that was a fun game also. I don't think I had a bad game in all five of the games that we played.
I don't think we did either.
No, I think we had a good time. Yeah.
We had a great time. We got to play a couple different groups. Played Sons of Cain first. Then we played Boys off the East Coast. Can't remember the third.
I can't remember
the rest
either.
Of the team names. I think that the last round five, that those guys, a lot of props to their models, a lot of conversion work, a lot of gorgeous models. The one guy, I can't remember what he said, but I know it involves like stage production and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you could see it in his models.
Yeah. I will say this. I definitely learned about Cult Mechanicus all weekend because I think, what was it, four out of the five that we played had at least some Cult Mechanicus. And one was an Eldar.
The three teams. Yeah. Two of them are just strictly Eldar.
We also ran in our first, game up against a Space Wolf playing team, and these guys had the Wolfen with thunder hammers and storm shields, and they had the Wolf Riders with the thunder hammers and storm shields.
No, and not those, Space Wolf players. Come on, Alan.
Dude,
they were going to say they had drop pods,
they did some wrecking.
I got to say though, that's one thing I was surprised that we didn't encounter like tons and tons of scatter bikes.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Well, that's because in round one, when it was Brendan and I, all the bikes were on all our tables.
Were they?
Table.
Yeah, I think.
They had like five or six squads of bikes, scatter laser bikes. And not only did we have that, but we also, with the captain, had the Wraith Knight.
With
and
the
of
two
course,
D-guns.
Since they moved the Lynx to the heavy slot.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Forge World.
Yeah,
we had Lynx in that slot too. So we basically had two Lords of War on there with a lot of D, and we just. It was
you and me first round, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We just kind of cruised to an easy victory on our side.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't say it was easy.
Well, it was a good fight.
We didn't give up a total point. We still got some points out of it. And I think that was good for Bravo. I think that was most of our games. One team did exceptionally well, and the other one got points but wasn't a complete win. A lot of really close games.
Because I went 2-1-2. Two wins, one tie, two losses.
After day one, I was kind of feeling it because obviously going up against a lot of lists with Lords of War, and me having none, we got the plus one, and we used it twice for the Seas. But Corey and I came out of the gate round three on the captain's choice, and those guys didn't stand a chance. We pretty much shot their army that they had on the table off the board round one, and then it was just basically flooding the tie from one angle to a different, just pushed them all into one little corner.
Something come around, a Land Raider come around and dropped some guys off, and you know, I think that was all they had left. And while those things were tearing stuff up, the funny part about it is, you know, they ran into the Pathfinders with the grab weapons. Well, Pathfinders got a 5-up armor save, so the grab weapon just kind of like, okay, whatever. So,
yeah.
The Pathfinder's like, yay, you got grab weapons.
Are those Centurions with grab weapons?
Yeah.
You have fun with my 4-plus save. You already killed the devilfish guy. Good job.
Yeah, one of the drawbacks of grab weapons. A lot of guys, low armor. Oh, do we get hit with something? Yeah, you did.
Like Joe said, nobody expected our Tau list. Like, literally, practically every game, they're like, well, that's not what we were thinking. You were Tau, and we saw Tau.
And we welcomed everybody to Breachers, because a lot of people haven't played against Breachers yet. They haven't seen them.
Oh.
Don't know what they do. They're not. Eyes
just opened up, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean they're strength 6? Oh, yeah, they're strength 6 AP4 or AP3 at 5 inches.
And this is an ethereal.
Which gives him an extra shot.
Here's an extra shot for each guy.
Here's 30 shots. And, have fun with that.
And Corey and I's last game, he got up there. It was round four. Mm-hmm. The round four game I was talking about. Basically, we got the Devilfish moved up, the Breachers disembarked six. Of course, the Ethereal gave out the extra shot, and I was shooting 21 times with Marker Light support. And just, they also had basically a AdMech support side of it. It was AdMech and then Ultramarines. We got rid of the AdMech stuff immediately.
It took us three turns, but even at the end of turn two, there was one model left.
It did take almost a whole round of shooting a Brobot, that one remaining Brobot.
Yeah, that Brobot, he was in it for the win.
He made literally like six or seven feel no pain saves in a row. I mean, just like, yeah, we hit him eight times, and bam, like six feel no pain saves.
I will say this, though. I hate Wyverns. I hated them before Adepticon. I hate them even more now. Wyverns, if you're playing the Imperial Guard or the Astra Militarum, and you don't take Wyverns, just stop. Take Wyverns, because they're disgusting.
Yes. Yes, they are.
I was on the receiving end of Wyverns twice. The first guy had two. The second guy had four.
Ow.
How wonderful that was. Nice. Here, you were just gonna let's sweep the shit off the table. There you go, buddy. Good job.
I know they've been kind of closing out with that. There have been a lot of pictures of our stuff up on the web in various places. Really? We've had several boards comment about that was a really cool set, the whole telling the story and everything. So I'm proud of us. I'm proud of what we did.
Am too.
I'm looking forward to seeing what we can do in the future,
despite the hardships.
Yes.
Oh, curse you for saying something. Curse you!
Despite the hardships, we persevered.
I got some deep cleaning on this carpet, because I'm hearing about hardship right now.
Hey, what you doing in your private life? Just stay there.
Okay, you. Let's talk about our appearance of our combined display, of what we did. If you haven't seen the pictures, there was about six people who did some serious work on that table. The detail work was great. The coloration, let me not say anything because I sound biased at that particular point, the coloration of the tape, of the base tape. How does everybody feel at the end of everything coming together? It's over now. Consensus of your feelings of the aesthetics of the tape.
I think we did an excellent job given what we were given.
Okay.
I think that we were able to come together. I think we were able to turn what may have been an onerous task and quite possibly a minor disaster, and we polished that turd. we made it shine. But honestly, no. I mean, all kidding aside, I think the display came together nicely. I wanted to give a shout out real quick to Derek Turner for helping with a couple of the buildings, orking them out.
Thank you.
Giving some inspiration with that. But for the first time I've ever built a display like that, like of any kind, you know, display table, just, you know, anything. I've learned some lessons. I learned what not to do. Overall, though, once we had the armies on it and I could see it from all together in one place, all the buildings, all the armies on it, it looked pretty freaking sweet.
That last day where we all met at Hobby and just kind of put our heads down and got it done, you know, it really came together then. So, by the way, thanks, Darth, for helping paint buildings. So.
And I forgot to shout out to Connor Lenegar, too, for helping with the buildings.
He enjoyed every moment of that, so.
I liked his face when he's like, what do you want me to do? I was like, here, I want you to do this, this, this. I want you to make this, and do this. He's like, okay.
Well, he asked me what he was
doing. He looked at me with it. It's like, Dad, am I old enough to mix this resin stuff? I said, well, just don't glue your fingers together.
Oh, my God.
Just look at your fingers in the apartment.
He asked the parent, don't spill it on yourself.
Don't tell your mother.
Hey, I'm old.
Hi, how you doing? Mama Lenny, she's online.
She don't care. She's the kind of, you know, the burn hand learns best kind of woman.
After all the spraying the matte coat and all the other stuff that we did, I think we're all a little bit more gigglier by the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Even well ventilated, it didn't do much good.
But the magic players come in and are like, wow.
Yeah.
Man, it smells clean in here.
Okay.
No, you know, getting my perspective of it, there was, you know, I'll give Larry Kirsch a shout out. I mean, he put a lot of work into building the boards. You know, it kind of came down to the point where back in February, where we were really working on trying to get it built and some schedule things were matching up, I fell and got hurt, which really put a damper on it because I was down and out and really not up and mobile. So Corey went over and gave a strong hand in trying to get that stuff together. And then it just came into trying to match some things up that this didn't come together well. But I think in the total end product of it, I was really happy with what we got. I was a little disappointed that, you know, it came down to just not being able to test it. prior to, which live and learn on our fog machine to let the smoke come out of the craters. But we were able to adapt and modify what we did there with some other things. I was really impressed after having it set up of just the amount of foot track of people coming over and telling us how gorgeous it was. Mm-hmm. Whether the judges necessarily went that way or not, we did not make it for the showing at the end, although the table with the beer cans did.
I was going to see if you mentioned it, because I was going to mention it.
I think we all have our own feelings about judging.
I think what really came down to is I feel if we weren't the first Army judge, we were definitely the second or third right out of the gate that morning. So I think we kind of set the bar for everybody else so they couldn't go too high, and I think maybe that hurt us because retrospectively,
we broke the bell curve.
You can't come back and judge us based on what you initially did.
Yeah, that's valid.
So I think some of the armies that went after us maybe have gotten a little bit less. And that you can't go up. They can't come back and give us, we gave you fours before, but we really should have been a five based on what we're looking at. But I think we were almost, after speaking with the judge on Sunday that judged us on Saturday about what we could do better, I do see a few of his points that he pointed out in regards to the some of there not being a lot of conversions. And yes, while we built these gorgeous buildings and gullies and spider walker robots with mobile void shield on the back of it, some of our TAU stuff was just a TAU, standard build. There were, they weren't super jumping, leaping, shooting shit down. And even though we had the flyers skimming over the buildings on acrylic rods and whatnot, that, maybe we could have had the acrylic rods coming out of the burst cannons down to targets and have lights and stuff. So, there's a lot of stuff now, thinking back, that we could have done. Obviously, this would have been more work, but things to take forward going on, obviously, with most of us that were working on it our first year going, so we weren't quite expecting, a lot of great stuff. Mad props to Team Bad Decisions, Marcus Baxley,
Nick, Ken Summers,
and all those guys for what they did. Just a gorgeous thing. But I was a little disheartened that we didn't get after seeing some of the stuff that did make top looks. But next I just got to take it and go on and move on. And a lot of the people liked it.
And just as a qualifier, that's not arrogance. That some of the stuff they got picked
was ridiculous.
Was kind of ridiculous.
I will say it.
You can't. The beer can thing. Yeah, the beer can display. Stands out the most, but you're like, really,
I will
guys?
Say this too. I was really disappointed that the chaos that was just a flat board, sectioned in four with a chaos symbol painted on the base. That wasn't even truly a display board. That was, here, I got a piece of board. I'll paint some. Yeah. Ours had depth, 3D, so. But,
and there was a lot of personal work that went into it.
Our board
was not pre-manufactured. No. God help me, it wasn't.
One of the comments I got was being able to see this story without us having to tell the story. And I think if maybe you're not familiar with the stuff from the Farsight Enclave supplement book out there and the fluff of, Arthur Smallock, which is what we did when Farsight went back to the planet to eradicate the Orcs, which had taken over, and after making them flee the wrecked Imperial City, they come across an unknown enemy, which is obviously where we came in the first Spear expansion, where they had the Admech, which very well, based on the time frame, could have been an unknown enemy to the TAU. So I think we placed it there, and it kind of, Larry was really hurt because the year previously they said, well, you guys aren't telling a story. So we came back this year with a really good story. Yeah. And they still say, you need to tell a story. So, obviously I think some of the Imperial stuff is maybe a little bit more known to some of the judges, Assault at, Blackfire Pass or whatever, whatever the story is out there, I think is maybe some of the Xeno stuff was not more familiar to them. But I was really happy once we got all together, got the models down just to see what we did as a group, pull it together, and then see everybody coming up's reaction.
Yeah,
it was a beautiful board. I was highly impressed. Brendan now has that board at his home, and he's enjoying it. Randy got some buildings. I got some buildings out of it. Time to move forward from doing the board. Now, does everybody want to do a combined display next year?
I'm mixed at this point.
Me too.
Because Corey and I are thinking of a really awesome idea for what we want to do with the army we want to do. And I don't know if at this point I could put my heart into the three-team combined. I like the idea of the Black Library, but I'm really digging the idea we're thinking
about. Yeah, Joe and I have been talking about that since we got back. And
we pretty much at least once every other day shoot each other a message about it.
Or yeah.
I miss you.
Don't pick on our bromance.
No, that is every day.
That is every day.
we'll see. I'm open for anything. I mean, obviously, I know, you know, Brendan bought some Eldar for the R expansion. I told him don't buy anymore because I got tons of it sitting on my hobby shelves, most of it painted.
Okay. Does this mean I have to put together Eldar now?
No, guard. No. Anyways, Mother Lanagar saying the bromance is strong between yes. you two. Yeah, this is in the chat room that everybody's talking in right now. Let's see. What else is people saying?
I think the only ones there are Jenny and Connor. So
yeah. It's Jenny and Connor
Roasted. I think Jen figured out a while ago that the guy calling and heavy breathing on the phone was me, that she just hands the phone to Corey now.
It's for you.
It's Joe again.
I'm
going to say hi next time.
I'm kind of jealous now. Heavy breathing.
We just have to come snuggle one night or something.
We got some ideas. We got some time here to really regroup. Basically, my big thing for next year is to buy as little as possible, which everything we're planning so far, army-wise, I own already. So,
okay.
And a vast, I'd say at least 60% of it is painted.
And I've said, you know, I'm happy to go and play, but if we're doing something other in Tau, I would much rather borrow somebody else's stuff because I really don't have a lot of desire to collect another 40K army. I got a lot of fantasy stuff I want to, you know, I'm slowly starting to chip through and I'd like to get it done. And honestly, you know, I'm still a rookie to 40K. I think this, as of the other day, I'm up to 11 games in my lifetime. Okay. So, you know, I like my Tau, I want to stick with them. So
Corey actually went to his local store and played basically what was my portion of the Tau and his portion together again for a 2,000-point game against another guy. And what was your reaction from the other player?
Let's just not get into it. So he may listen to this in a day or two.
He didn't
so.
Like the fluff.
He didn't like the fluff? He didn't like how the army played out? He didn't like how the army played out?
Oh, yeah. He was impressed by it, but not as what happened to him as he was pulling his models off the table.
Oh, well. So, I think the goal of any particular game, the reason you have a game, is to have fun and what you consider to be fun at that particular time. Do you necessarily have to table the opponent to have fun?
No.
Or do
you wish you could present a challenge?
I guess I should say none of us do. There are people in this in this game, in every game, have to play like that to enjoy themselves.
Right. They're sad people. I'm just going to throw that out.
Why are they sad people?
Because they're trying to fill a hole in their life by ruining somebody else's day.
With the tears of their enemies?
With the tears of their enemies. But no. You guys tabled somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was our turn for it.
And Brendan and I came close one game. But Joe and I pretty much had somebody's foot broken off in our butt in the second game of the first day. And
Brendan and I had the same thing, so.
Yeah, you know, even though we lost everything but five Pathfinders.
They lived to tell the tale.
There was one moment of slight douchiness. I still had fun.
Okay.
And that's only because I didn't understand at the time why the douchiness occurred. And then it turns out it wasn't actually douchiness. Okay. I just misinterpreted something. So, but I mean, I'm the kind of person, and I've said it before, if I have fun and you table me, I still had fun. That's the whole point. But if you are the kind of person who is just like, I need to table you in two turns and I'm going to be a douchebag about it, then you know what? I don't want to play you. And that's the beauty of these games is I don't have to play people like
you. Okay.
Me.
And I think, thank Lord, we really didn't run into anybody like that all weekend. I don't know how you guys... Did you guys run into anybody like that?
No,
so.
it was cool. All four games, all five games.
I will admit, you know, as a rookie to Adepticon, I've heard Adepticon horror stories. So
yeah,
I was looking to that. So event. Yeah, apparently, you know, it happened in other games at Adepticon. So
the controversy continues.
No, it doesn't. And I'm going to go ahead and say something about it right now. The judges made a decision, and the judges, and basically, you go with what the judges do for their event.
Right.
It's their event. Regardless of anybody thinks, this person should have been disqualified. Well, you know, you could have done that at your tournament. Did you run a Gigantica tournament like Adepticon lately? No, you haven't. All you do is sit back and you complain. Why weren't you there? Well, I'll go to Adepticon because cheesy crap like that happens. It's like, cheesy crap like that happens in any game system.
Yep.
In any game system. It's all dependent on the personality. Plus, the person who had basically made the violation, he gave everything back. Anything that could have been sold for some money, he gave back to the tournament organizers. Okay? So, his reason for going there, he wanted to play. He wanted to be in a competitive game, and this person is a highly competitive player, and he's won several games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He wants to participate. He wants to be involved. Not throwing his hands up in the air and says, I'll never play this game again. No, he's gonna be back. He's gonna be playing again, and he's gonna keep going forward. So, thank... Joe, stop it! Okay, he's going to...
If you're wondering, he's going to there's continue. A reference to another game situation that we probably will not discuss that involves more douchery.
No, we will not discuss that.
Stop that right here. Kill that. But...
I'm stretching, guys. I know you're stretching
a lot. Okay. Things are going to happen. The judge is going to make a decision. Stick with the judge's decision. You think this should have happened? Well, good. Become a judge. Put down miniature justice. There's only so much stress you should have over pushing plastic.
Dice down, maybe calm.
Brightly colored plastic. How much stress should you have?
You shouldn't have any.
Unless you dropped your whole army before it got judged for paint.
What?
I'm just giving an example.
Who dropped their army?
Nobody.
That'd be a stressful situation.
That would be a stressful situation. Yeah. Okay.
Set your chains for the play. Bam!
What was the pinnacle of your Adepticon experience, Corey, being your first?
Finally getting to see the display with all the models on it. I was kind of in awe about that, and I filled up my phone with pictures, and I had a lot of pride in that, so I was, you know...
Well, take pride in it. You worked on it.
I was impressed with how my towel turned out. It is... When I bought Tau 2-3 years ago, they have turned out exactly how I envisioned them, and that rarely happens when you paint something.
Okay, when you put the orange on it and put it online that day, it's like, that's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I like that. Go with that, 100%.
I'm kind of glad we didn't go with the purple and yellow.
Trial and error.
Okay.
That's why we did test models.
Joe,
your pinnacle of your first Adepticon?
I have a couple things that kind of made it all roll good. I really enjoyed, and I'll put it for the team next year, is the sleep we got Wednesday.
Yes!
Alan. Wonder what that was like.
Yeah, me too.
Seeing what the guys were like when they came in.
I didn't get sleep. Hold on.
And then we started the ball rolling.
Because we went day early.
I think maybe next year it's something we all need to look at doing. Just so we have a well-rested day going into the starting of day's events. But no, it was just, I think my real big thing was just seeing all the Team A and Team B come together, had a lot of great games, and just spending a weekend of eight friends. We did a bunch of different stuff individually. We did stuff together. It was just a real fun time, guys' weekend away. But I also enjoyed the fact that one of our team members was upset about the whole paint thing, and maybe a gasket kind of went a little loose off and got upset. And he came up to me and asked me what my thought was, and maybe we should veto and ask for points. And I said, well, that's not what we push as bolt guns, as Team Bolt Guns. That's not what we're here for. It's not what we do in the Model Citizen. That's not what we push. We push sportsmanship. You know, obviously, are we happy about it? No, but, you know, we don't need to be those guys. And, you know, I think to that teammate, he came up to me later and said, I hit him over the head with a 2x4 when I said those things, because it completely changed his mindset of, you know, yeah, I was absolutely right. That's not what we were there to do.
Mm-hmm.
But just the totality of the weekend, the first time out, it was just real great. I'd definitely next year like to play in some more events. I was able to see my sister, so that was great too. But
that was incredible. You connected with family.
Got to have some family time there while we were there. So.
I will say I enjoyed. Now I wish I would have done maybe one or two more things, but I enjoyed having that first 2 days to just kind of get my sea legs, figure out where I was going. I got to spend time in the vendor hall. I got to talk with game vendors, which was really cool.
Yep.
You know, I got to connect with people. I got to talk to the guys at Mantic. You know, Joe and I got to talk to the guys in Ninja Division about doing. And we'll talk about that later on. So that was nice, you know, maybe something in the evening, but we weren't rushed for, you know, oh, I gotta hurry and get dinner. Although I know you had that situation a couple times with your events. So,
yeah.
But you know, I like that. And then, you know, Saturday and Sunday were super busy, but.
And I had my first cake shake.
And I had. It's the first time I've ever eaten a slice of pizza and felt like my stomach was going to explode. So,
A slice. Yeah, Chicago pizza.
It was a good time, good food. I was finally glad I got to go, and now I want to go every year. Okay. So I think it's going to bank in there with Buckeye. Those are my two must-go-to events every year.
Randy,
so.
Pinnacle of the Adepticon weekend.
This is going to sound kind of shallow.
Okay.
And I hope it doesn't, but
we're a solid person, so we understand.
I just want to, for me, it was the fact that we came in 30th out of, what, 112, 120 teams at the pinnacle of 40K events. Being our first time there, we were playing an army that none of us were familiar with.
And none of us, we actually never had any true team practice games the entire time.
And we did that well.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of that fact, that we did that well. I mean, our sportsmanship scores were good, except for somebody chipmunked us, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar chipmunk with that term, but I understand. So
our painting score display, I mean, we across the board, we represented very well. And then the fact that, like, out of all those teams, and some of those teams, like the Sons of Scotty, they used to be the Sons of Shatner, have been doing this for years. And, you know, they're going to be at the top. But for us to come in our first time with a practically unplayed, untested army, and to do this well, I was very proud of where we finished.
Okay.
At Bolt Guns Bravo.
Cool.
I don't care about you guys. it's all about us.
Okay, cool.
It's all about the greater
good. No, seriously,
good.
I mean, you know, that's the first big event since the old grand tournaments, you know, back in, I played in 2000 and 2002, that I've been to and played in. And it was just an excellent experience overall. Like Corey said, having the extra, not doing anything those nights, just to be able to chill, walk around, meet and greet, get some beer, some good food. After all that hard work we put into everything, and to come in 30th like that is just such a huge validation, I think, with non-cheesy tau.
Did you talk to Alan about us being Team A next year?
What do you mean?
Well, you said we were going to try to be Alpha since we came in higher.
Oh, that's true.
You can call yourself anything you
want. I'm going to jump the shark here.
But I'm just thinking about burying the Bolt Guns name and basically call it Model Citizens.
Model Citizens?
The Model Citizens.
I was going to ask you about that.
One and two.
Let's go for it. Okay. Let's make it here and now. Hey, we're changing to the Model Citizens.
I think we should keep the Alpha Beta.
Yeah. I like the Alpha Bravo,
yeah. Charlie.
Okay.
Maybe we can have a Delta and an Echo.
Or a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
As long as we're not
That's
doing
how it. I like my women. I love me some Whiskey Tango. Anyway. On a lighter note. No.
Okay. Sorry. Hey. Pinnacle of my experience at Adepticon was basically going up with seven great people and just having a true guys weekend. Eating food we're not supposed to be eating. staying up past insane hours of the night. I think that was a great experience. Also being able to paint beside James Wap. I got to sit down at the painting station. Just jam with him painting. And at the end of Adepticon, while we were loading everything up, met me at the door, and man, he just wanted to talk for about 20 or 30 minutes. It's like, that's cool. This guy wants to talk to me for some reason, so I'm awesome with that. And also getting to see Justin McCoy and sitting in on it on his weathering class, in which it was really eye-opening, very, very informative of how to use his weathering powders. It was basically, oh, I can finally use these things I've had for over 2 years. I now know what to do with them. Don't drop them. or they'll turn into paint. Don't drop them in your carpet or it's goodbye.
And your wet blending was you spit, right?
Yeah,
wet blending.
I'm not going to basically put down the man who put the technique together. I'm pretty sure it's an effective technique, but I'm not sticking a brush in my mouth. No, there's too many things that brush goes through. I've seen it.
Okay. What do you do with your brushes?
What I do with my brushes? You know how many chemicals and crap my brushes dip into? I'm not putting that crap in my mouth.
And yet you'll eat McDonald's.
I've seen you tear apart a Big Mac or two, son.
That's because I'm fat. That's my excuse.
Well, I'm trailing behind you like a comet. So, hey, but it was a decent time to see all seven people come together. The table coming into the hall and seeing everything there, everything being spaced out, all the bottles it finished up on there. The smoke not working. Okay, the smoke wasn't working. We had a quick fix for that because I had wondered where my blast markers had disappeared.
Where's my smoke marker?
That's exactly what I was like. Hey, I'm like, hey, Alan packed his smoke markers. I saw them. You should grab them.
Go, John Wolf. He just disappears and reappears John's with a box.
I'll go get him.
He reappeared with a box. Yeah.
Look, I try. I MacGyvered the hell out of that smoke machine to get it to work. And
right.
I'm sorry that it didn't work. It's just the wrong kind of stuff. Okay. Brendan.
It was a great thought.
Jesus himself could have come down and touched the machine. It still wasn't going to work.
Next time we try that, we just hook up a hookah underneath. And we just blow our
smoke. Just blow smoke into it.
That will be the forced air.
Oh, you can have little...
Drugs are bad, okay?
Or you can have Axe body spray put into the type.
See, there we go.
It spritzes out whenever someone comes close.
I will say, that's one thing I didn't encounter
a lot of. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of stank.
There wasn't a lot of stank there.
No, a lot of older people.
I did run into it once.
Yeah, and there was one kid.
Well, yeah, and one of the workers at a vendor booth happened to walk by me with his arm raised, and I think I went to one knee and...
Were you talking about...
I've been hit!
Ted Kaczynski?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, well, Junior. It's Ted Kaczynski Jr. was there playing.
Oh, wow.
He looked like the Unabomber.
He looked like the Unabomber. Yeah, so, that was interesting.
I hope the vendor hall grows. I think, you know, being at this new venue, I think hopefully their vendor hall will get a little bit bigger. But we all did get all kinds of goodies.
Yes.
Yes, you did.
So.
Yes, you did.
That was what I really liked, you know, the free time we were able to touch base with some people we have relationships with in the miniature area world. We were able to make some new ones and look for some exciting things here in the future.
Okay.
Coming forward.
Cool. Cool. I don't know if I want to do a multi-display next year. And here's why. Being able to get points for your side, because the judges said something about this is a combined display. It's like, yes. And then it had to say, okay, how much work on this side? How much work on that side? Did they discount our table and just look at our army?
From talking to the judge, they took the totality of everything. It wasn't what A got, B got, because okay. We worked on it together. It was a joint display. So, in speaking with him about our painting skill, he says our paint was there. Obviously, they enjoyed the fact that we fabricated a board. So they liked that part of it. There was just some things that they felt, and I think that's really what came down to their 10-minute conversation that they had before they came back and gave us our judge slip was...
Yeah, they huddled.
I think they were really on the fence. Like I said, being that early, is this a 5 or is this a 4? And I think if it had been later in the day, I think we would have been a 5 as opposed to right out of the gate.
Yeah, I would agree. I think being judged, because I do think we were first, I think that hurt us.
All right.
Okay. We'll try next year. We'll go early, but when they come over and ask if we're ready yet, well, no.
No, go see
we're
them.
Come
back in an hour. In fact, come back at 2 p.m. We don't want to see you at 1 p.m.
If we do our thing, we're going to need the morning just to set it up.
See, now I want in. I'm not going to play the Imperial Guard now. I want to go with you guys. I'll play cheesy, pointy-eared bastards.
Cheesy, pointy-eared bastards.
I'm not above pandering.
Did you guys do anything else at Adepticon other than the team tournament?
Did a dark console with you.
Okay, you did the dark console.
Randy and I tried.
Yeah, we tried.
The people finally showed up
after
the time frame. So, but Alan was the nicest man ever.
He was.
Let them play their spot.
He let them play their spot.
I demoed Dungeon Saga and came home with it.
Two copies,
which I got rid of the other one.
Looks like it's time to take a break.
This food break is brought to you by Axe Body Spray.
Axe Body
Spray.
Get the funk out.
And folks, we'll be back with you in a few minutes.
While we're in the Adepticon slot, we need to thank all of our wives or intimate others.
Yes. All of our wives, thank you.
A, our shit for all the... But B, for supporting us and helping out with our obligations while we were away.
I also like to thank Figure Painter Magazine, Ronnie Renton, Justin McCoy, everybody who's anybody who helped us with this table. I'd also like to thank people at Adepticon for putting on another great event. When we get back, we're going to talk about other events and potential comp system. So we're going to leave you here with the music of Mr. Logic Glass. It's going to be an oldie but a goodie. So talk to you later, guys. We'll be back in about 15 minutes. All right, we're back from the break here. Thank you for staying with us for 15 minutes at least. Okay, well, we got to shove down some Tommy's Pizza down our gullets here. And also some other people we forgot to thank. One was Daniel Corbett at Game Table Adventures, who sponsored the team through paints and models, various other things needed to put this to put our team together for Alpha. It was also available to Bravo, who also utilized
Jamie Long at Hobby Central.
Jamie Long at Hobby Central. Anyone else contributed?
Let's hit Darth Leiniger one more time.
Oh, yeah.
Young man.
Yeah, we got to hit Darth Leiniger. He also helped me out, as well as Joe, painting Super Dungeon Explorer. Believe me, the event was a success. Those painted models added so much to it. I also would like to thank Ninja Division for the prize support that they handed me for the Dark Council game, as well as Adepticon for providing these awards. I was expecting simple sheets of paper, and then he goes ahead and pulls out 12 of these things with the names. With the names I gave him online, I thought I was going to get, oh, here's your slip of paper. Thanks for participating. No, here's your medal. You know, you can actually kill somebody with this medal. It's a big medal. He gave us the same award that they gave us the same award medals that they use for their main miniature gamers.
You really think you can kill somebody with that?
Absolutely.
Not that I know of.
Okay. I mean, no, it's terrible.
Oh. Anyways, here's Corey's participation.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Since I left it with you and you offered it to me, so.
I got Chibi Master. What did you get?
It's another bromance because I'm a Master Blaster.
Oh, the Master Blaster.
The Master Blaster.
The Master Blaster.
I don't know.
I guess I'm a little shorter.
You can fit on my shoulders. Who run Bada Town?
Who run Bada Town? Who run Chibi? Chibi World. But after Adepticon, outside the team tournaments, I decided to go ahead and stretch basically my capabilities. I was kind of tired the first two nights, and I ran Super Dungeon Explorer, the Dark Council, using Super Dungeon Explorer, and I threw in an extra twist of having super candy colas there that people could use to basically defy the basic game rules. And the first six people came in, got through. How many bosses did you guys run through in the first round?
I think we got through three mini bosses.
You got through three mini bosses. Wasn't able to pop a fourth or a fifth. As it seems with any game of Super Dungeon Explorer, you start out at your base level and then you're fighting things, and as you gain more loot and treasure, and then what ends up happening is more treasure comes in and everybody learns how to work together. The guy running the game ends up fighting the Justice League as
the ranger with the glitter explosion bow or whatever.
Oh yeah, Sparkle Burst.
Oh, Sparkle Burst. Yeah. Boom! Let's pick him up.
Yeah, they had nothing to worry about after boss number three. They were rolling pretty good. So I'm thinking about doing something similar next year, depending on what Ninja Division does with any type of rules improvement, as well as the addition of Legends coming in. I haven't played a test game with that yet, and that's due out in about October. But I'd like to thank all 12 of the players who showed up Thursday night as well as Friday night. I also like to thank again John Cadice and Ninja Division for supplying a copy of Ninja All-Stars for round one and a copy of Ninja All-Stars for round two, as well as character boxes for everybody who played. So
I got to enjoy it. I went down there when you picked everything up, the awards pack, mm-hmm. gave you a hand carrying it. And Alan goes up there with his boss swag and says, "Hey, I'm here to pick up the prizes." And of course, the two guys working the booth are like, "What prizes? Uh-huh. No one left us with anything." So obviously, some phone calls were made and whatnot. And Alan's like, "Well, this is what I would like." And not only did that's what Alan got, but he got way more, I think.
Yeah.
In the way of things.
Thank you, John Deitch, because guy got the phone. Give him this. Give him that. Anything else you want out? It's like, I only got 12 people.
But, as we're on the topic of Ninja Vision, Corey and I were up there and we were seeing the new Relic Knights, their resin cast stuff that they're printing out now. Now that they're back and doing their own thing, no longer with Cool Mini, and it just they're amazing. I mean, it's the stuff that they should, unfortunately they weren't able to pull off with the Kickstarter with Relic Knights, but they're gorgeous. We got on some obviously rules conversation about some of the mechanics that were kind of clunky in the game, and we're looking forward to hopefully seeing some revisions and things fixed, and they come out with a version second edition. After conversing with a little bit and knowing who we are, and I'm not saying necessarily our connection, but knowing what we do here on the Model Citizen and stuff, we're kind of given some information to respond back to them, and I did, and hopefully here in the future we'll maybe get some information, but you may see some of my no models on some of their playing demos, and me playing some demos, and Corey as well, and hopefully maybe get an ability to give our input into the second wave.
At Adepticon, you were only involved in the team tournament. Did you do anything else?
I wandered around, sat in corners by myself, and stared at people. And
left his coat.
You tried to convince me to buy Infinity.
I tried to convince Corey to buy Infinity.
Unsuccessfully.
Corey should buy Infinity.
Was there an Infinity event?
There was.
Okay.
I think.
Nick played in it. Nick. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Nick played it. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Nick Sangiano.
Did they get first overall?
I don't recall.
They were doing well.
I think he took third.
Nick took third. Nick took third.
But that's one thing.
And that's pretty good for being partnered with somebody at random, because he didn't have a partner and they just put him with somebody.
Also, I was amazed at like some of the games that were there, like Saga or Saga, however you want to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. You know, I always thought that Adepticon was just 40K and fantasy, and then to go there to see stuff like Bolt Action,
Drop Zone Commander,
Firestorm Armada,
which Cocomelli participated in.
Yeah, you know, I was unaware of the depth and breadth of the whole thing.
Yep.
So I may look into taking, you know, doing some stuff next year, maybe some BattleTech or something, maybe Infinity. I don't know.
I did sit down at the never ending BattleTech for about a half hour.
Did you actually play?
Yes,
and
I did.
Like it?
I did. I enjoyed it.
We'll have to talk after the show, Corey.
Now we got a BattleTech pimp up.
That you got your first taste. Let me introduce you to the wonderful world of BattleTech.
I won't say anything. You know, for me, I spent a lot of time in the Mantic booth. I had a good time. I got some issues resolved with one of my Kickstarters, Mantic, thanks to Ronnie and Joneet.
Mantic.
Now tell me about the customer service that you got at the Mantic booth.
It was great because I basically had some questions about something I should have received and shouldn't not, and it really boiled down to someone picked up said phone and called said warehouse and said, send the guy this. Now, it's turned around that I'm not getting that stuff because I was misinformed about it. However, it was still good, and I'm impressed with it. So, of course, Ronnie's salesmanship was great as always.
Not to interrupt Corey, but I'm just now getting into buying some Manic stuff and getting into maybe doing some Kings of War. Because I'm missing the fantasy aspect of my hobby. You know, that's the one thing. I had my Ogre Army, and I was able to do something that wasn't sci-fi related and play a Buckeye or play games in that, and I'm missing that. And with Ninth Age getting ready to come into Edition 1, Kings of War is really starting to catch my interest, especially with the expansions out. And I tell you what really selling me was just being able to sit there and talk with Ronnie for a little bit in the Manic. Having never bought a Manic product, I walked out of there with a Dreadball team.
That was my fault.
My wife had not had the instance he did, and blew up a rim on a tire before I went and had to drop some money. I would have probably bought a Kings of War pack as well, one of the big deluxe armies. But I'm going to give Ronnie Ritten and all the guys at Manic mad props. Great customer support, even at their booth at Adepticon. And just the ability to sit there and talk to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, I mean, I end up getting some cool future information, just questions, you know, talking to Ronnie about what's coming up for them and everything. And I'm really excited about that. I even got asked my opinion of the direction a game should go. And at least for me, for a humble guy from the middle of nowhere, that's awesome when Ronnie truly wants your opinion of how something goes. I got to weigh in on how they should handle the next version of Dreadball. And him and I stood there for 20 minutes and talked about it. And I don't know how everybody else in the community for Dreadball feels, but I think all it needs is a rules cleanup and a new rule book. Well, there's tons of teams out there already. We don't need 15 other teams. And the funny thing about it is Ronnie's right there with it. He's like, let's just rebox it, clean up the rules, make one rule book that has all six seasons in it and all the MVPs and be done with it. That's a smart move to me. You don't need another Kickstarter.
Great move.
Because
Dreadball, it seems to be all over the place for me right now. There's what's my starting point and, you know, what's my learning curve on it. And then, wow.
Well, here's my investment so far.
Okay.
Besides Mr. Manic to my right.
Right.
Corey Linegar.
Oh, I've got a copy of Dreadball right there, too.
But got my team. $25. Rules are free online. I can play.
Okay.
I mean, I would need a pitch. But
and on that subject, if I may, I just want to give a shout out to David Baker from Game Table Adventures. He took first in the Dreadball tournament.
Yes, congratulations to a local guy. Yeah.
Mad props to Dave. I mean, he's been pushing the game there. A lot of folks haven't been as receptive as they probably should be. And he's been a diehard champion of the game. And to see him to go to an event like this and take first place, I think they said that he's going to London to play in like a world championship type of event. So Dave Baker, good job. Mad props, my friend.
On top of, back to Adepticon here, one of our games, one of the players had to play by himself because the guy was sitting here saying he had participated in the X-Wing tournament there. He had the potential of going to England, so he might have had to bow out of our game. It's like, dude, go. Playing us versus a ticket to go to the UK. Yeah. Because of X-Wing, that's cool.
To go to the whole Lucas thing there.
But get out of there.
I'm going to reiterate. Mad props to Manic and their customer support and customer service. I know they've gotten hit from a few people online and looking at some stuff about delays and whatnot, and but I mean you consistently see high marks with Manic in regards to their customer support. You can go onto their website, manicgames.com, and you so much information's out there that you're giving away for free. They're constantly expanding. They're constantly taking in support from people like us who buy and play their games, because obviously they're gamers themselves. They want to put out something there that they know people are enjoying. I'm getting the manic shot here.
I don't play any of their games, but just the brief experience when I was standing there with Corey while he was talking to Ronnie, I'm like, I'm duly impressed. They're down here. They're mixing it up with the people. They're not sitting in some corporate tower somewhere. They're willing to listen. They're willing to talk.
Now, on the other side of the aisle, there was another company where, we can't talk about that. This is our new stuff, but we can't talk about that. So, I mean, it just goes to show you the two different mindsets. And like I said, Corey and I, you know, bro fisting it up over here. What did we do Wednesday night when we got there? We played a game.
I drug it. I wasn't even dragging. He's like, oh, you brought your dreadball. Let's play. So, you know, we're playing dreadball.
And okay. I've actually considered taking a second look at it. Not because you guys are like staring at me intently.
We may inadvertently be scheduling a Model Citizen League with some help from our friends at
Mantic. So Joe and I have kind of taken it on ourselves to kind of promote the game a little bit.
So I'm being voluntold to play.
Well, you won't have to purchase a team. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
That came out. It's called Ninja All-Stars.
Why is it always about you, Alan?
No. This is from...
And, you know, honestly, after seeing the dungeon... You know, like, the whole trip for me was kind of eye-opening.
Okay.
Because there were a lot of things that I had just sort of glossed over or passed by. And then as I'm walking around Adepticon and I'm looking at this stuff and I'm listening to the people play the games and I'm seeing them have fun and I'm like, you know, why did I not get into that? Why didn't I give that a chance? And so I've sort of done some gamer soul searching, if you will, about things like Dreadball or Dead Zone, the Gates of Antares, you know, different things like that. So
it was funny to hear a company bash their own game, and that was Mantic and Dead Zone, because even Roddy and them guys would be like, yeah, it's clunky, it doesn't work, we need to fix it. You know, for a company to come out and say,
right,
yeah, we know,
to
sucks.
Publicly admit,
yeah,
that. Are you listening, Palladium? Robotech.
Wait, you mean the same people that were selling the stuff to the general public, the vendor booth?
I'm not going
to yet to
fulfill their Kickstarter.
Well, Corey and I bought some tickets, some raffle tickets. And while I love that particular company's role playing games, and I wanted I wanted Robotech to be good, I really did, because I've been a fan since I was a kid. So we won. I'm sorry, I have a stutter sometimes. It's the extra cheese. We won three items. So I took, there was a big pile of Robotech there. So it was three boxes of Veritex and two boxes of Destroids. I take it back and Alan's like, well, I think you got more than people that got the Kickstarter. So immediately I'm looking around like, holy shit, I better hide this stuff. I don't want to get jumped.
There's my shit.
One of them would be Larry.
Well, you know who wrote the rules for that game, right?
Ninja Division.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
John Codice.
I know, Alan. Alan Blunt loves Ninja Division.
Actually, they love me.
We did have the opportunity during a break on Friday. We're just kind of in the vendor hall trying out some games. Wanted to try some Guild Ball. Really busy booth.
Yeah,
really
busy booth. I wanted to check that out too, but like you said, it was packed. There was a lot of
beautiful models.
A lot of very gorgeous models.
Yeah.
Beautiful models.
I've been watching some podcasts on it.
I'm sorry.
If I'm necessarily sold on the actual game, but
the models
very
were
gorgeous. Seems to have a base growing. I'm not sure how quickly, but there was a supported event at Adepticon for it.
And speaking of the vendors and stuff, brings me to the fat mats. They use the fat mats for practically every table, for all the tables, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, at the 40K event, yeah.
And the fat mats are great, but I was unaware that they were made of platinum and gold.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Fat mats?
Fat mats are kind of expensive for a 4x6.
Yeah, they are. Well, what were they going for, 90?
95.
Okay.
I'm like, I can go tape some mouse pads together and draw some stuff on it.
That's weird. I thought There's some stuff from Fat Metal on the website. Some of them are a little bit cheaper. It may have been the fact I think the ones
I think the smaller ones, but
well, I think the ones that well, I think the ones they were selling were specifically the
all the Adepticon ones,
the Adepticon style ones.
Now playing on the mats themselves, I those were great.
Yeah, they were nice.
And whoever did the terrain also fantastic job. I'm stealing your idea for the tree blobs with the removable trees.
Oh yeah, those are nice, mm-hmm. Very easy to use.
Yeah,
we also had the opportunity when we were still there. We played a game of was it Blood Rage?
Blood Rage was a lot of fun.
Yes, that board game
kind of
yes.
Went. Yeah. A little bit of hesitation that was kind of clunky.
Yeah.
The gentleman, the younger gentleman who was running us through it, obviously could tell he was new to the game, also learned there were some questions you had to ask a more seasoned player. But just some great mechanics. Just mm-hmm. As the more we played, the more we got through the different tiers.
I'm just sad I couldn't bring out the fire or the ice giant.
Right. Yeah. The monsters weren't in the game, but another fun game to look at. We had fun playing that.
Well, I'll suckle the mantic teat a little bit more. Because Ronnie talked me into giving me a five-minute demo of Dungeon Saga. They're basically Hero Quest remake, and it was a blast. And then, kind of funny, I bought the game, and then I bought some guy's Kickstarter the next night, and I had both games.
Here we are trying to do a real quick demo, try to practice our game before the morning of the team tournament started. And, of course, it's also the bits hall, and they have the bits up there. So Corey starts perusing, and what does he find? Not only the game he bought, but all the stuff.
Everything from the Kickstarter.
And the guy wanted the
for the same price I paid for the game at the Mantic booth. So I'm furiously texting the wife, hey, can I do this?
Can I do this?
Asking for a mulligan.
So, but as I've read through it and everything, it really kind of took even the later on the Advanced Hero Quest to where you can make your own class. But it's still just a fun Hero Quest type dungeon crawler dungeon game.
Good,
so
I can make my muff diver.
Yes, you can make a muff diver.
Wow! Okay! Yeah.
It's a halfling that likes muffins, Perv.
Yes, of course.
He dies for pearls. Why does your mind have to go there?
Dies for pearls. So that's a euphemism, isn't it?
No.
It's like a ranger.
It's not.
It's a ranger.
With a sparkle bow?
With a
sparkle bow.
He does ride a unicorn.
He's fabulous.
Oh, and we gotta say, the template guy. Oh my lord!
Yeah. We kind of stumbled across him, Corey and I, on Wednesday when we walked down, and he was waiting for a shipment of stuff to come in because he was still setting up. He's like, "Well, we're looking for orange and white tile," and he does custom templates. It's Greenman Designs. His website is designsinc.com. It's designs normally spelled with INC.com. Mm-hmm. But he does custom templates, very reasonably priced, very good quality. I know some of the stuff he didn't have, he was extending it out to being able to order it at the same cost he was selling it out there. I think he said he sold 175,000 sets of templates last year. And I can see why. He was busy the whole weekend we were there. But we were able to find some orange and white ones that matched our towel, so it's really good. But that was another good booth there. Mad props to the guys from the Toledo Bits room that were there. I mean, they were consistently busy.
Yep. That's just a hand you money kind of thing right there.
Yeah. Yep. He'll be at Buckeye Battle.
Yes, he'll be at Buckeye. I wonder if he's going to bring all of that to Buckeye.
That's not all in inventory.
Oh, I know.
That's have you all been to the store? Stuff. No, I've never been to his store.
Oh, the store is crazy too.
Okay. Yep, that's Daryl. The Toledo Bits Room guy.
Thank you, Daryl.
Yes.
Toledo Game Room guy. All right. Now, I wanted to talk about other events coming up. There's Origins, which is next on the docket here in Columbus, in which Ninja Division will be putting me and a couple of friends up in the hotel so we can come down and run games for them. Okay? We haven't got the full spiel on what we'll be running yet. But John's up here saying, oh, there's a whole lot of stuff he'll have for us to do. Also, we have Buckeye Battles coming up, in which Joe, for the first year, is going to be running all the 40K events there. He's going to be running the team tournament on Friday.
Yep.
And then there's going to be the general tournament or grand tournament on Saturday and Sunday. In which Joe is instituting a banding system, in which on day one, armies will be split into bands. There's only a band one and a band two, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and the banding is going to be using the Blunt Matrix, which I put together basically to separate armies by their advantages. If you have more advantages in your army, you're going to have a low score. If you have less advantages in your army, you're going to have a higher score. So a 20 is basically no optimization. You're doing, and basically you're there for fun. You just want to see your army in play. In which your lowest score is going to be your army is ultimately optimized. You have about 5 different Space Marine chapters and something different from another faction thrown into the army. And basically, all those advantages will help force multiply you. Now, there has been discussion of the Blunt Matrix and why I put it together. The reason I put it together is that, okay, what does it take to get new players in? Because, you know, the older veteran players who like the competitive style saying, well, you know, you just want veterans in your tournaments. It's like, yeah, that's good, but attendance will not go up. Because you'll have this tier of player, and then you have the players that say, I don't feel like playing that tier of player.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I put something together in which any tier of player can get in, and the top tier players will play each other the first 3 rounds.
And Alan is saying he captained the thing. There was a group of us that sat down with him after he had basically come up with the base formula, and we kind of gave a little bit of input on maybe a few more things that needed to be considered in their psychic abilities, D weapons, mm-hmm. You know, use of other sources, that kind of thing. So it's very new. As far as I'm aware, at an actual event, Buckeye Battles will probably be the first time it's utilized. Since we've really talked about it.
Mm-hmm. I should go without saying it wasn't just like a yes man type of thing, because there's been disagreements on it too.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So don't let anybody out there think that we're just fanboying
our
stuff.
We're going to try it out and see where it goes from there. We'll get input from the players. We'll get a little questionnaire together at the end and see what they thought about it in regards to how they felt playing on their list or where they felt their list was and whatnot. But I know Alan has run most of his most recent event list through it to see where they fall. I ran my Summer Slaughter event through it last year based on it, and pretty much what we're seeing in regards to numbers is pretty much everything lining up for the most part. And you can agree or disagree on what's powerful and not powerful. But in regards to just lists, it seems to line list up with what's in them fairly accurately, I think.
And I think it goes back to an earlier discussion we had about tournament organizers.
Right.
If you're not organizing the tournament, if you didn't put the time into the event to put it on, you don't have a whole lot of room to complain. If you don't like a banding system, nobody's forcing you to play in this event. If you think banding systems are stupid or have no place in the game. But by the same token, there are people out there who want to have fun when they play their games. And there are the people who want to be competitive when they play their games.
And I think for the most part, and I'm not saying a guy that brings a 20 isn't as competitive as a list with a 1.
Right.
It also comes back to player experience. Obviously, we got to worry about the dice gods too, but I think more often than not, you know, a guy that plays a 20 isn't going to want to be playing that guy consistently that's a 1 or a 2, I mean.
Right.
In the tournament.
And he possibly shouldn't be,
right?
Depending upon using Swiss system, starts balancing the players out on, it's like after 3 games, okay, if you're in the top tier in your 3 games, it's like, okay, you most likely are going to be playing some of the higher tier guys,
right?
Okay, and then when the walls come down and basically you go pure Swiss system, then you see how it turns out between players. Will the optimized list do better over this guy on day one who basically scored, who max scored across his 3 players,
right,
versus the guy who max scored across his 3 players in the lower bands? How is that game going to turn out? Also, it depends on the point spread. Is the point spread basically, is it possible to get 15, 16, 17? As your point values, because I sometimes have to worry about that in my event, saying, okay, this guy who's who's got a point spread of 19, should he be playing this guy who has a point spread of 21 or 22?
I think, you know, and obviously, you know, the guys have played in my Summer Slaughter event. I'm trying to follow the KISS method this year. I cleaned up some things from Summer Slaughter last year that I felt, not weren't this major issues, but things I think that could make for a better event for everybody in regards to list optimization, what you're allowed to take, those sorts of things. But all I put that out to everybody and cleaned it up. I've had multiple questions from people regarding it. Try to clarify a few things, but I've yet to have one person, and it's been up since pretty much the first part of most of April now. I think I got it up towards the end of March, actually. And I've not had anybody complain. I've had people that call and ask questions in regards to where points would go into the matrix, because they didn't see where something would, you know, if you take anything with free stuff, it gets slotted into the heavy selection for the percentages. They didn't see that on it, so they called and asked if I get free stuff coming, where do those points go? And yes, it goes in this slot. So people seem to be open to it. I've not had anybody complain about it, and we'll see where it goes. My hope is that, you know, it gives us something here in the area to try to make it a little bit more keeping the competitive, but letting the fluff guys play fluff.
And if you guys are able to, you know, pull off what Jeff's had for the fantasy side of Buckeye, even remotely well, mm-hmm. it should go well for you.
Well, I think, you know, and having we talked with Jeff. I talked with Jeff for a fairly long amount. You know, we had an 8-hour, almost 8, well, 9-hour if Jeff was driving. But no, we got there in about 7 hours with some stops for meals and whatnot.
You guys are slow.
I was traveling with Doctor Who, right?
Right.
Well, we ran into a rainstorm with a car with questionable wipers. So,
We were in a rainstorm in an SUV packed so full that it didn't bounce anymore.
No, we were in the Kessel Run. That's where we were.
Less than 13 parsecs.
But I was able to
12.
I was able to bounce some stuff off of Jeff and go forward. So, you know, one of the things that Buckeye has had within the fantasy section of it was banding, and that people really like that.
And now it is no more.
So there's no banding right now. Obviously, there's no comp system.
No. I'll get into that when he's done.
Okay.
But I think the banding is going to make it so that you're going to have some top guys playing top guys. You're going to have some middle guys playing top guys, and you're going to have, if you want to play fluff, you can play fluff, and you can play other fluff guys. It's going to line it up that way. And if you succeed, you're going to be able to try your fluff against the heavy list the next day if you score enough points and go from there.
All right. So, Randy, how do you feel about banding systems so far? I don't know if you've
participated. I agree with it. Like, I stopped playing fantasy back in the fourth ed, but I know a lot of people that would go to Buckeye Battles, and they would talk about the banding system, and to me that seemed like a good idea. If I'm going to take an Empire army that has 3 steam tanks, 3 cannons,
Andrew
2
Sherman.
Mortars, you know, I probably shouldn't be playing the guy who's playing nothing but Wood Elf, and it's all Bowman. Because that armor's going to get steamrolled, no pun intended, because of the steam tanks. I'm like, oh, great, you're shooting arrows at my steam tank. Good job, buddy. So, you know, a system like that, because I guess, you know, I don't want to say that I'm the pinnacle of fluffy players, but to me, there's a reason they put background in the books. And I kind of play to that. So a banding system, I think, is a great idea. Like Joe said, you know, Ken Summers shows up with his all Catechin list.
Every time.
He gets a 20 on his comp score. And then he has to play somebody that has a Super Friends list that's got a 6 on the comp score. Well, it's not going to be a fun game for him. And the hobby is about having fun, not seeing how many people's dicks you can kick in. So on the first day, Ken has some fun games. He gets to play people in a similar, you know, points to him. If he does well, he goes on the next day, and then he starts playing the harder stuff. And then that's when he gets this... to see if he can shine beyond that. You know, you show up with a comp, you know, a high comp list, 20, 19, 18, and you're able to defeat these guys who have, you know, 5s and 6s and 7s. I mean, that shows, you know, a lot of skill. And that's a challenge. And some people rise that challenge. Hey, you know, the first day, I played an army similar to mine. I did well, but now it's time to see how I really do. the bands, you know, the lower band guys, the band one guys. Is that the band one? Is the lower score?
The band one's the highest.
The band
one's
going to be the low small numbers, but and then the band two is going to be the.
Yeah, the guys that have sixes and sevens and eights.
One to ten, and band two is 11 to 20.
Well, see, in their band, they're going to be facing challenging lists. You might have Super Friends versus the Super Friends, or you might have two scatter bike lists that face off against each other.
And you have to have a positive number. We can't get into the negative.
But then, you know, they get to fight the fights that they want to fight. They get to fight the super competitive players and challenge themselves against them, you know. So I think it works for both sides, the Face Wreckers and the Fluffy Bunnies.
Okay, well, we'll have to see what happens with that.
Did I ramble?
I did touch base to the guys with the ITC. Mm-hmm. It is an ITC-registered event. If we're able to pull in the 58 allowed slots, it will count as a major event in regards to points. If we fall short of that, which we may, I'm not going to be let down. My goal is to hopefully, I'm shooting for 40, but we have room for 58 right now. But if nothing else, it'll at least count as a GT, regardless, based on the number of people.
And it's the first year too. You got room to build.
Yeah, first time that we've had a 2-day GT for the 40K portion of it. First time having a 40K team tournament on a Friday. So trying to move the 40K at the event as well, and to give Jeff props, you know, one of the reasons we were introducing 40K was with the Dodo that was Warhammer Fantasy 8th Edition, and not knowing where 9th Edition or 9th Age Fantasy was going to go. When I check the numbers right now, actually I'll go there right now and see how many people have signed up. But
and Corey, you said the 9th Age is the official rulebook's out now.
Yeah. On the 9th Age website, it's like .99.5. Mm-hmm. This very last 2 weeks of revision is literally nothing but spelling errors and grammar errors. The rules that are in all the army books and in the books will not change. So the final version's out, and that version will last at least through the fall, past the ETC, the European Team Championships. After that, there may be a 1.2 revision, but their goal is to maybe every 6 months, unless something's blatantly broken, and they will get out there and fix it.
So, and looking at the signups, the 9th Age event right now, as of this very second, is sending out 96 registered players.
Nice.
And looking at who's paid, I would say a little over, probably around 60-70% of those players are paid attendees.
I know. And you know, that was one of the big
the world, right?
Yeah, and you know, that was one of the big things with the whole transition between, you know, Fantasy and 9th Age and all stuff. Jeff was really worried, you know, will this be the last Buckeye? If anything, talking to him, oh my lord, it's going well. So, and not that the area is trying to kill Kings of War, but people wanted the more complex game, and I think it's a good solid system. At first, I will freely admit, I bashed it. I thought it was very imbalanced. I thought it was very poorly written. It has come about. I enjoy it a ton. It's what we would hope that ninth edition would have been from GW if they had produced ninth age. But it's even better.
I think in looking at it, what they did, and right at you said right at the get-go, I started looking at it, and it looked like every fanboy is like, we need to do it to this, and they did it, and they tried it out and realized, that guy's a fucking idiot. We need to pull it back. We need to balance this out. And not only did they balance out that particular unit, they've balanced whole armies to the fact that you don't have that one army build that you're going to see now. The units are, for the most part,
variety?
The variety and balance. So you can take that unit that's been sitting on your shelf for a while that you used to take in, you know, third or fourth edition that would now became irrelevant because each new product came out, the power curve.
Does that mean the Bretonians finally got a book?
I'll talk about yes, they got a new book, and I have faced the Bretonians, and a gentleman I'm starting to play with in my area. They're not a joke. If you build it right, they could be tough. I mean, their entire army gets a 5-up ward save, just period. Because, I pray at the beginning of the game, and now my entire army gets a 5-up ward save, which is invuln save. Yeah, so I mean, it's they're no joke.
But
so.
I think their intent to come up with a great system, move the game forward, try to balance things out, clean up what people wanted cleaned up from 8th. Outside looking in and just reading, I haven't played a game yet. I think they've achieved the optimal result, at least what they could come up with so far.
Now, what's the registration look like for the 40K stuff?
Right now, I'm sitting at 16, and about 80% of those guys are paid, and I'm sitting at four teams. But I've had probably literally 20 to 30 people tell me they're coming. They just haven't signed up and registered yet. So as closer we get to it, the more we're probably going to say, hey, we got ninth age fantasy player guys that want to come, and we may have to relinquish some space. So if you're listening to this, you want to come to it, best thing you can do to hold your spot is pay the registration, register.
Procrastinators.
I tell you quite frankly, for being this far out away from the event in July, to have 16 registered 40K players, yeah. You're usually having to go, hey man, it's next week. And obviously we have other events coming out between now and then that people are trying to line their schedules up for and figure out which events they want to go to. But I got a couple good connections through the web and through other people. Did some pushing at Adepticon about letting people know about it. So I got some folks from Michigan that look like they're coming in, some folks from Illinois maybe coming in, some people from West Virginia are definitely coming in, and maybe I'm getting in touch with some of the people down in Kentucky and Tennessee in that area to see if some of them want to come up. But I'm also got a good draw. I got some people coming in from Toledo, people coming in from Dayton, Cincinnati, Cleveland. So, all over Ohio.
All right.
Let's see. So I'm looking at dates here. We have Origins, June 15th through the 19th. And I slotted in Army in a Weekend from June 24th through June 26th. In which, basically, I will attempt to put together an army for Buckeye Battles, which is going to be July 8th through July 10th. So,
what are you doing at Buckeye, sir?
Well, I'm doing at Buckeye? Well, I'm supposed to be teaming up with Ken Summers in the team tournament.
Nice.
If he does not commit, what will happen is I will be on judging staff, possibly playing the other half of Ringer. So I have to contact Ken. Yes, sir.
I may have some catechins you could borrow if you want to be brotastic with Ken.
I wouldn't mind.
I'll see what I have.
I wouldn't mind at all.
Cool.
And on Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to be the Ringer Army. And my goal is to bring...
For which side? For Joe's side or for the other side?
For
40K. For 40K? Okay.
For 40K, because I'll be working on my Thunderhawk on Army in a Weekend, as well as the rest of my army, to get it up to 2,500 points using the 30K Betrayal of Kalf models, which are fully detailed models that, they did not do the standard two-piece plug-and-play model. They gave you fully detailed torsos, legs, arms, and guns to slot in, and as well as your standard 40K new guns with the hands on them fit perfectly into the Kalf models.
For the low price of £225, Forge World will give you a kit to make it chapter specific.
I got my shoulder pads on the way in.
Yeah, heads, shoulder pads, chests. So if there's a particular, maybe not Raven Guard because all they do is run away, but any other chapter that's...
They're being stealthy.
Oh, are you going to Buckeye Ring?
Yes, I'll be there as a judge.
Oh, okay. Connor and I are resurrecting...
He's going to fill my bro, my Mr. Bro space.
I'm going to be the Necron Bro Fist to his Blood Angels Bro
Fist. Well, Connor and I are going the evil route, and we're doing Ninth Age all weekend. Connor and I are teaming up for Drunk and Scaly again, so Lizards and Dwarves together Friday, and then...
I'm so glad you explained that.
Sounds like a bad college night.
It does. Drunk and Scaly.
What's up, when he's the DJ?
So,
where'd this all
I gotta admit,
from?
I'm kind of a proud papa because Connor has made the two-day commitment. This will be his first full weekend Buckeye Battle.
No slacking, Connor.
He's excited. He's ready. We've ordered some more Lizard Man pieces because I'm pretty much fully painted and ready to go.
To tell you the truth, if people were able to travel back in time, I'd want your son to travel back and find me at his age so we can get some gaming done.
So,
is that cool?
Yeah, we are both playing all weekend. So we're looking forward to that. So he's rocking the Lizards. I'm rocking the Dwarves. And we're looking forward to Ninth Age. You know, like talking to Jeff, everything at Adepticon was really successful. So I'm glad for that. So I knew from the community there was a lot of us afraid that, you know, Buckeye was going to go away, and
I was afraid too.
So I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I think we're set in between Joe bringing out the 40K side and the 9th 8's doing good. I think we're going to be filling that theater for a long time to come.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we should be able to.
And of the 16 people, I've put out the line to all the 24 people I had at Summer Slaughter last year, and counting out a few people who are actually going to help me with judging, I'm still missing 14 people that have not signed up. So you had those 14, if they decide to come, I'm looking at 30 there, and not including the other people that are sitting there. So I think we'll get to 40.
Okay. All right. So
hopefully 58, but I think we'll get to 40.
All right. Now, Andrew has this thing called hobby commitments. So basically, this mic won't be going live again until about, let's say it's April now, May. All right. What do you guys hope to have finished, painted up, and put together by May? Plans? Anything? Randy?
I hope to have the, I don't know what, the gift army that you and I put together for John?
Yeah. Okay.
I hope to have that fully painted and ready to give to him.
Cool.
For those of you who aren't familiar, Alan and I are cleaning out our closets, so to speak. And we got some Marines together to give to a friend who wants to get into the game but is financially strapped because he has all the children ever.
Two children are expensive. Three children is astounding.
Five children? Yeah.
Five children. Knocking
so he's trying to be the emperor with all his Primarchs?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yes.
So we put together out of stuff that we had that was used and that I stripped, and we painting it up to give to him. So that's what I hope to have finished in the next month.
Okay. Huh. Hobby gift. Cool.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well,
you.
Obviously, I've got for painting commitments, I've got to help Connor get his Lizardmen squared away for Buckeye. Okay. I'm pretty well set with the dwarves. I was going to build their new flying chariot, but I can't squeeze it into my list. Yes, now they have a flying chariot called the Grudge Buster.
And if you didn't know, one of Corey's designs has been opted by a game company.
Yes, it has. So the contract's done.
Contract's done.
And it will be appearing in the Chaos Wars. As last word I got, it will be appearing in Chaos Wars Kickstarter next month.
Okay, and that's being made by?
That was being made by Raul Partha Ironwind Metals out of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, anyway, for commitment. So I've got to finish up my few dwarves, get Connor's Lizardmen squared away. My biggest hobby commitment, even though it's not technically hobby, is forming a gaming group in my area.
Yes, I saw the website.
It's been exciting. Yeah, it's just a Facebook page. We're not doing a website.
You do know where you live, right?
I do. I have college students. You have to remember that.
Yeah, but there's also a town that has three whole families in it.
I know.
The whole town's interrelated.
But
he lives next door.
I've gotten a few people in the group that I didn't expect to kind of join in with us. Because they're kind of in limbo between Lancaster and Columbus.
He's a sixth finger for Roland
Dice. Anyway, I created a Facebook group. I've got a shop down in Athens, Phoenix Nest Games. I'm consistently playing that. If anybody's interested in learning Ninth Age, I am actually doing a Ninth Age demo day on the 30th at Phoenix Nest down in Athens. So if any of the college students down there listen and want to try out Ninth Age.
I like your demos. That's what got me drawn into Kings of War. You ass, now you're jumping to Ninth Age. So,
I'm doing both.
You're doing both?
I'm doing
okay.
both. I'm a crazy man.
You may not have mentioned this, but you can use the army in both.
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Anyway.
Why would design a game to do that?
But there's already kind of a small 40K group there. It's actually four or five guys that come out from the West to college at OU, and they've got their own thing. I have no problem with that, and there are a couple of them are actually in the SOWs, as we're calling it.
The, Southern Ohio
Wargamer Society, or the War Pigs.
The War Pigs.
So, okay. I don't know if you saw the conversation about the banner. Did you see that?
No, not
with
yet.
Scott, you know who Scott Snyder is.
Yes, I know who Scott Snyder
is. So, Scott's already been talking to me about he's going to go a mile down the road to the butcher and get a pigskin and gonna season it, and then I'm gonna make a prison tattoo gun, and we're gonna tattoo the logo on this pigskin and put it on a pole, and that's gonna be the Sal's logo.
You gotta tan the skin.
That's right.
So, okay. Plugging skulls for your Lord corn to feed the pigs.
I need to see some crackling showing up here.
Talk to the other part. She's the chef. Okay. So
that's right.
Anyway. I know she's a chef. That's some
just,
things.
But yeah, I was gonna say, just buy the whole pig. Then
we can smoke all the pork. Yeah,
and pig leather.
Anyway, so that's the biggest. That's one of my biggest commitments right now. Is I want to try to get that group grown. And you know, it's not that I don't like repping Central Ohio guys and everything, but as I've talked to some people, I find out there's some gamers. I end up finding a guy that lives 40 minutes away that's been trying to play Ninth Age with somebody. Jeff hooked him and I up. We've had several games in Athens now, so I know exactly where he lives. So that's the kind of thing. I grabbed him. I grabbed the family. I grabbed a few other friends, just trying to get organized. So
building community.
Exactly. Right. So I'm going to do some painting classes at Phoenix Nest for them, because they've got some budding hobbyists that want to learn some stuff. So I'm not bowing out of anything. I'm just trying to build my own community. So
okay.
And just for the record, that area is not as bad as I made it sound.
Oh yes, it is.
Damn it, Corey! I have relatives down there. Shut up!
All my relatives are down there. I still hate it.
That's where half my family's from. Shut up. It's a lovely place.
For those not listening that don't live in Central Ohio, if you've ever seen the movie Wrong Turn, loosely based Southeast Ohio.
The hills have eyes, you know.
The hills have eyes, yeah.
Deliverance?
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, I would guess a Deliverance, yeah.
Cabin in the Woods. Oh, wow. Okay. Joe, any hobby commitments?
Yeah, I have a street light.
Actual build right now is Harlequins. I'm solely focused on getting them built and painted in time for the fall for any event that you may be holding.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a free entry to something like that. So.
And then
it better not be on my weekend to work.
Other things is right behind that is I'm really geared towards Dreadball and playing that. I showed it the pieces and stuff to Logan and kind of explained to him a little bit. And I think we can play the starter version with enough having to get into the advanced rules that he can get the gist of, you know, picking up a ball, dropping the ball, tackling, and scoring. So I'm going to try to do that as well. And Corey leached me some of his Kings of War rules as well as the Dreadball rules. But I'm really interested in doing something fantasy related. I just don't know why yet.
Okay. Those abyssals are screaming at you. I know they are.
They are, but the Nightly Terrors?
The Night Terrors.
Night Terrors.
Yeah.
That is really, I think, probably...
It's amazing to have an army in a book that has no models and is totally open to your interpretation. Yeah. One of the armies in the new Uncharted Empires book for Kings of War, Night Terrors, it's all... And there's just loose descriptions and then you know I've been on the web and seen some just amazing ideas. You've seen the giant squid monsters.
Yeah, the guys from Mastercrafted have been doing some bat reps both before and after Adepticon of Kings of War, and the one guy there has one of the beasts in there. He's got this Reaper Bone squid that has been painted gorgeous and fits the rules perfectly because it's got like 20 attacks. And it even, when you read the fluff about it, is a sea creature.
So,
I mean, that's kind of got my...
Yeah, I mean...
It's pretty cool.
Twisted mind going forward. Far out plan is... I must be drinking too much water that you guys have poured, because I'm actually considering starting an Imperial Army. Which, you mean, my only Xenos?
Welcome!
To give credit, it's going to be an Arbites army based on something, unless they come out with an Arbites supplement between now and then. And I want to light kit them up with red and blues on it.
They will most likely come out with that supplement about the same time the Zotes and the Squats come
back. Well, Sisters get their book.
Yeah.
When we get Plastic Sisters.
When you get Plastic Sisters. Yeah, that rumor again.
Logan's graduating high school. For the eighth time.
Right.
But no, that's my long forecast. But my current forecast is Harleys.
Okay,
And our Dread Ball League.
And mine is going to be basically improving my capabilities of using an airbrush, decals. I'm going to be doing a lot of weathering experiments also, and painting up my tablescapes. By the next time I shut this mic on, I should have my entire 24 set painted up and ready to go, and basically try to put together a nice display using nothing but tablescapes and models I have. I also went deep and bought the secret weapon miniature bases that matches the tablescapes, and I've got all these beautiful models to put on them, as well as my Kickstarter coming in from Mantic for Warpath. I'm very excited about learning Firefight, which is the skirmish system of Warpath, as well as the full-on blown game. Yes.
Yes. Well, I heard something else.
I got my Mantic bug, okay?
I also heard something else about a possible skirmish game from Mantic that I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about, but I'm going to anyway. So, I have heard some unofficial / official / I don't know where they come from, rumors that there may be a fantasy-based skirmish game from Mantic. That is all. Continue with your normal activities.
Okay. But one of the things I wanted to do today was I went to Justin McCoy's weathering class, and I learned how to do sharp highlights. And the secret is, as he showed us in front of us, a white watercolor pencil. And all it took was basically him going up there. He said this was a $300 lesson that someone taught him about sharp highlighting. He asked the guy how to use sharp highlights. Here, clap, 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 whip off the sides of it, done. Razor sharp. So I wanted to show the guys today how that worked, but they didn't get the pencil in time.
Is it any color watercolor pencil, or just you just used white as an example?
I think I put up a link in the bolt gun feed at one point that somebody had an article about that, and I haven't done it yet either. I wondered if you could just go get a whole set and do any colors.
I think it's right for experimentation. I mean, go ahead if you can find the articles, or basically try to see how's this color combination work. Yellow on this edge, or green on this edge, or basically taupe or brown on a green edge. Whatever you can see on top of Micron pens, I haven't seen anything concerning those. I also managed to get the entire series of the Secret Weapon acrylic paints, which this man loves rust. he even gave you three paints for burnt tire rubber, and aged tire. It's like, wow.
Wow.
15 paints, man.
I did get my stencils for Brush for Hire for my Harlequin checker pattern.
Okay, try them out.
I'm going to try to use those out. So I've not used them yet. I'm still in the assembly stages.
But I still need to learn how to apply decals so those edges disappear. Okay, I'm going to be experimenting on that. I've got a new hood, I've got a new airbrush, I got a beautiful airbrush pump,
That's my next investment, one like you got, because I've kind of stressed mine a couple times now, and I think the diaphragm in it's about ready to kick itself, so.
Oh, yeah, that auto shut off, oh, that's beautiful. I don't have to hold this, move this here, and flip a switch.
Well, pulsation, you know, because now that I'm getting better with my airbrush, I notice the pulsation now. So.
Oh, yeah. So it's going to be a good journey.
You guys and your chest airbrushing?
Right.
See what you've done to us, man?
You're smart.
See, now I'm even thinking about buying an airbrush.
You've shown us the way.
But I think, not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, we're talking about paint and whatnot, and I think, I know I heard it from guys playing Team Alpha, I know I heard it from people playing Team Bravo, was everybody was very much digging our paint jobs in regards to that, especially with the Tau. There wasn't a traditional The white, obviously, white is a very hard color to paint and pull off nicely. I think we did a great job doing it. Yep. A lot of other people enjoyed that as well. And even the AdMech, while it kind of had some of the reds and stuff, it was done in a nice manner that wasn't, I would say, a Codex paint job. In regards to what it looked like.
Well, and I liked their contrast, too, because they had that older, used look, and we had, you know, you had some weathering, and then Randy and I had a little less, you know, so we were fresh reinforcements. Right. But Brandon had plenty of weathering, too, so.
And you finally weathered your stuff up, and...
Yeah, I wasn't going to, and I shake your hand, and I apologize. You made it look amazing after I did weather, and then I had to stop myself from making them look like trash.
My major fear was how the bases turn out for you, because that was a job. Were the bases okay? Did they okay? All right.
Yep.
Well,
what was I thinking?
I don't know. Randy, were the bases okay, sir?
I said yeah.
Okay,
Do you often feel the need to be validated every second of your life, Alan?
It helps.
Jerk.
It helps.
Yes, Alan, your bases were fine.
You hear my head rattling when I went,
yeah. And we appreciate you casting them for us.
Yes.
Greatly.
All right.
Okay. Although we appreciate you, Alan Blunt.
Let's see if I can find... Corey and I found him in the vendor hall, and I'll give him a shout-out, because he was, you know, at least I had a different conversation with him. I can find the card here. Keep talking amongst yourselves.
Okay, no problem.
Duran, go.
I'm hungry like the wolf.
more hype than talent.
What? What? We can't be friends anymore.
It's more hype than talent.
I found it. We're back. Thanks
again for the swag bags at DeptCon, by the way.
Filled full of lots of goodies.
Next year, I'm stepping up and going bigger.
I think I might, too.
After seeing what was tossed out, because I obviously had, you're going to get a grab bag. You know, you're not used to actually.
You only got a half one, right?
Good grab one. Oh, I got a half one. I didn't love it. Yeah, I mean, I didn't get the full one. I'd love to get the red one, the VIP one. Yeah, a lot of great stuff in there. But we came across a guy, Elric's Hobbies. It's Elrikshobbies.com. He does a lot of resin casting. Starting out, he's got a lot of bases.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality of them, looking at them, on par with anything on the market right now.
Right. Oh, he was leaps and bounds cheaper.
And he was selling at a cheaper price. And he's planning on coming out with stuff as it goes to expand his catalog. But if you guys want to check out some really nice bases, go there if you're not seeing what you find on other sites. As well as, now that I've actually had the time to sit down and read it, Gale Force 9 has a tanks game that the pre-order is going on right now online. But they gave everybody it's a tank skirmish game called Tanks. It's World War II tanks. And they gave everybody pretty much a sprue with one tank. And, I mean, the quality of the tank, I mean, it's anything right up there with anything you find with Flames of War or Bold Action in regards to look and everything. But reading the rules, I really liken the rules for a tank skirmish game. I think it captures that World War II tank on tank battle that you would find in the theater. But you can go to
Have the time.
Gale Force 9 on that. I let Berkeley Norman know, since he's I think born in the wrong decade, or he was a past tank commander.
It
gives everything on there, line of sight and shooting and whatnot. There's some mechanics in there. I've read some of the stuff online where a person didn't have the actual kit from the game, because when you buy it from Gale Force 9, it does come with model card, kind of like you would have with Star Wars X-Wing,
right.
Where you have your actual, this is a, you know, X-Wing with X-Pilot, and then has upgrade cards that you can purchase. So it changes the mechanic of the game a little bit. The guy that was dead, it didn't have those upgrade cards yet, because the game is coming out as we speak. As a matter of fact, I think we all got a little bit of taste of the first hit free in our bags from Adepticon. But if you like World War II and you like that kind of thing, and just the tanks, there's a lot of stuff there. Look forward on Gale Force. It's a tanks.gf9games.com.
All right. Any other fun stuff anybody wants to shout out before we knock out here?
And thank you to the Adepticon team tournament for providing everybody with the objective markers.
Yeah, the objective markers are really nice.
Originally was offered up, you could buy them from Adepticon, but everybody in the team event was provided with mm-hmm. a set. So just pat on the back. And again, if you've ever questioned about going to Adepticon, first time going, great event. Since Buckeye's in my hometown, I help out, you know, that's my kind of Adepticon's now my go-to event.
Nice. All right. I would also like to give a nice shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Galone for helping out with cashing the bases up.
Yes.
And spending an entire day with me making the molds, getting them together, doing the work, and I wouldn't be able to do it without them. So thank you for your efforts, and thank you for your community building efforts also. Okay. Randy?
I'd like to thank Alan for making me leave for Adepticon at 1 in the morning. There's something like driving through the rain in the middle of the night with a snoring black man beside you. Oh, and then getting there and sleeping for 5 hours after you get your rooms 3 hours later.
Well, you got to sleep.
I'm not bitter.
You got to sleep.
But no, like Joe, this was my first Adepticon, and you know, there are a lot of thank yous to go into this. Both teams, Bravo and Alpha, Aaron Galone and his wife Fran, Derek Turner, Joe, I guess, Corey, Connor, the wives. Thank you for not divorcing these guys. I know I don't have a wife, but I'm sure if I had, she'd be in the I'm pissed at you too.
See, I know my wife's not going to listen to this. She ended up having to, she made the decision to surrender our year-old puppy back because of its actions being protective of our family and our neighbor in our apartment complex, who is never home but says the dog barks all the time and stirred the shit with the office complex. So to keep from having watchful eyes on us every minute of the day, we got rid of him, only to get a cat.
Cats are cool too.
Yes, I have a cat. His name's Gus Gus.
Gus Gus.
He's gray.
A new family member.
Cat. And like my wife, his balls are chopped off.
Wow.
Wait, your wife had balls?
No, she wants to chop mine off.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. I was like, Joe, wow.
The conversation came up when she brought it home.
She's a he?
See, he's fixed.
Oh.
Well, I will global thank everybody like all the other guys do. I will take the time to thank our dedicated listeners. I hope they continue to listen to us. And
wow, way to one up us, dude.
That's right. Hey, usually I'm the one being the, you know, selfless bastard here, so I thought I'd go that way. So I want to thank the people that have come on board with the salves, and I'm looking forward to getting those games going in my region, and hopefully we'll go to Buckeye and represent well. So, but ultimately, thanks, Alan, Joe, Randy, for dragging me to Adepticon, because they're about a couple weeks out, I was ready to strangle somebody and tell y'all to go choke on a barrel of something.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I was walking the streets of various towns at night wearing a hood and cape and sharpening a knife. That's where I was at mentally.
But it all came together and I had a blast, and I'm definitely going next year.
Also, I wanted to bring up something special here. All three of us live in the Ohio area, and two of the people on this show are servicemen. Mr. Elverson happens to be an officer of the law. Mr. Lenegar happens to be a firefighter. We had lost an officer here, Stephen Smith of the SWAT team. So I will want to dedicate a minute of silence for that right now, starting in about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, it's 1 minute dedicated to a man who gave up all of his in the line of duty. And being a citizen of this great town and the people I've come to know, this really caught me off guard, knowing that I could lose my friends or family at any time in the blink of an eye due to people who cannot get right with society. But I'm proud of the people that serve. I've had family who served for a lifetime. I've had family who've gotten injured in doing their work. My Uncle Jim was a police officer in D.C. He lived to a nice age, but he did die of basically metabolic situations. But he always loved life, and he always had the most fun. On his way out, Jim would always be mouthy to the end, and somebody had asked Uncle Jim, is there anything I can do for you? And Uncle Jim said, yeah, you want to trade? Anytime. And that's one of the most indelible, that's one of the most solid memories that I have of my uncle. So I'd like to thank the officers and the firefighters and the emergency med techs and whoever's out there helping another human being, trying to make it through this thing that we were born into. Thank you for their time. Thank you for your service. All right. Anything else?
I'm just going to add on to it. You know, we joke a lot here on the show. You know, we can be cynical at times, but we try to be in good fun of everything. I know I've said it before, and I'm gonna continue pounding this until the day I can't say it any further. For most of us, we do this as a breakaway from just some of the nastiest, darkest, disgusting stuff one would ever see that you don't want to see. This is our breakaway. This is our exhale. You know, we joke about Corey and I being Brofist and the Brotherhood, but you know, it's quite frankly very true. He's got more years in serving, but it doesn't matter how long. It matters that we do. So I just want to again reiterate, we do this to have fun. We know a lot of servicemen and women in the military that do this because it's fun. And we do it to break away from, like, again, some of the things that I hope most of you would never have to see or hear about. Unfortunately, the life and reality that we live in now is, so far this week, I can think of three officers that were killed on the line of duty nationally, one of them being here in our backyard of Columbus. I know nationally this year we've lost some firefighters as well as medical personnel working crashes, working fires. We've had a lot that, you know, have succumbed to, you know, we'll go back to 9/11 because it's coming up here rapidly, that we're on ground zero scene and are succumbing to the illnesses that they have been dealing with. That's a struggle for being on scene there with all the steel and metal and asbestos and things. So again, be out there, support your first responders. You know, there's a bad apple in every field, but I believe it wholeheartedly that there are far more people in this world doing good for you and I than there will ever be out there doing bad for themselves. So keep up, treat each other well, enjoy this thing we call a hobby, whether it's 40K or Mantic. You can tell from us, we're not one product specific. We enjoy just being together in each other's company and throwing dice, playing, you know, dropping cards or whatever the game may be. So that's my two cents.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and go to the outro here.
I think, Corey, you haven't got something to Corey.
I just got one. You can turn it on now, but I got something just quick to say, and this kind of hits along with that and what you talked about, Alan, with someone changing their life. For someone that's been in the service industry, much like Mama Lenny, who has now basically had to walk away from it for the rest of her life, think about those people when that comes along too. So things happen, and you move on, you deal with it, enjoy your hobbies, because that's what she has done. She has reinvented herself into everything she's done, and I'm very proud of her, and I wanted to put that out there to tell her that I'm happy that she's getting along well, and she's reinvented herself, and now she's going to give us lots of yummy meats.
Yes.
So.
Hear, hear. Yummy meats. Vote for that.
Thank you, may I have another?
Now I feel like I should say something.
Fine, Randy.
I'm not a policeman or a fireman. I'm not a soldier. My father was. I have friends that were. Veterans coming back with PTSD, with mental issues, or just anybody who suffers from depression or suicidal thoughts. A lot of those people play these games. Robin Williams is a prime example. Don't let those people slip through the cracks. If you see somebody that's struggling, talk to them. Approach them. Ask them to play a game. We don't need more statistics. We need more gamers.
Well said.
Okay, guys.
Now that we're all depressed, what song are we going for the outro?
Same one I'm doing, man. Okay, well, thanks for listening. Guys, play your games. Respect each other. Do everything you have to do to enjoy this hobby. You don't have to tread on someone else's toes, but it's good to possibly put the table into the ground. All right. Talk to you later, guys. Intellectual property used within this program. The opinions and views discussed within this program do not reflect the overall opinions of the producers of the Model Citizens or the Ohio Hammer Network. All content is used without permission. All rights reserved to their prospective owners. Thank you for listening. If you need to contact us, we can be reached on the Model Citizens Facebook page, on the Ohio Hammer Network website at www.ohiohammer.com, or email me at boltonr3@gmail.com.